Good morning and welcome to the Automation Morning Show for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. I hope your day is off to a great start. I'm just going to check my levels here. Everything seems to be good. If you guys are having problems hearing me or any problems with the audio, please let me know. But I do want to wish you a very happy morning this morning. And I know I got to adjust the camera. We'll get to that this weekend. But in any case, let's go ahead and jump into the show here. And we'll stop by going over to the first sponsor spot, and this is being filled today by theautomationschool.com. If you know anybody who needs to learn PLCs, HMIs, or SCADA, please send them over to theautomationschool.com. Now, this site is now allows you to purchase vouchers for other people. So you don't have to just buy the course for yourself, enroll yourself. You still can, of course. But you can buy vouchers for, like, let's say you had a team of people you want to enroll, but you didn't want to do the group enrollment. You don't need to track their progress. Then you can check that out there. And I picked the S7 1200 and 1500 course because I'm actually working with Siemens to cover some of their IO-Link products. And as soon as I'm done that, I want to add a new lesson to this course to kind of really expand on it. So, we do a lot of first looks and quick looks here at the channel. And so in any case, I'm excited about adding some lessons on that to the course. And I also had somebody ask me today, I'll save that for later. Let's go ahead and look at our second sponsor. And this is theautomationblog.com. You can see here, we're starting to drip out all the news stories from the past shows here. So if you want to know about Delta V automation platform or Mitsubishi's new Zero Trust device or ABB's new SDE, we have what we call microblogs. Typically, a microblog is a paragraph or two, kind of an excerpt of the original story, and then we send you directly to that other, to where you can read the full story on the vendor site. So Compliments, I really feel like Compliments Automate That News, which is really just an aggregate site, right? So this gives people little things to read in the morning, and that is, again, theautomationblog.com, and it's 11th year. I still have the 10-year anniversary up there. But in any case, let's go over to our first story. I thought this was very interesting, and I wanted to congratulate Rockwell Automation. They're claiming to be the first industrial plant, or the industry's first plant, to get 62443-3-3 a security certification. That's really cool. And I thought the article was very interesting, how they went through and talked about how they used some of their existing Encompass partners, as well as some of the companies they had recently acquired. And it tells a story how they went through the entire facility and to achieve this certification. Plus, working with all these people in ISA and, I'm sorry, TUV, they learned a lot. And I just thought it was a very interesting article. If you're interested in that type of, becoming a, getting that certification for a manufacturing facility, I think you'll enjoy this article as well. And I want to congratulate Rockwell on getting that certification. If you've ever been, what did I say? This was Milwaukee, right? So if you've ever been to that plant, it's a very, very interesting facility with the clock tower and whatnot. But in any case, from there, we'll go over to congratulate Endress and Hauser on their 70th anniversary year. I think earlier in one of our earlier shows, we talked about an article about their founder. And we recently had Ashley on to talk about radar level sensors in 80, I think it was 80 gigahertz. And you can see it's been a few weeks now. But in any case, we got to get them back on. What a great company. So congratulations to them. And we go over to Siemens. I thought this was very interesting. We have a lot of SciTop power supplies here because they were sampled to us for our training courses on the Siemens products. And they're just phenomenal products. We also have, I forgot to just remember this, we also have a sit down with them about their SciTop power supplies and the selectivity modules, which are really cool. And so in any case, they just released a line of EX. So this is, they've always had EX, apparently. They've always had an EX, explosion proof, class one div two style power supply. But this is like the new portfolio. And so I thought it was very interesting. Now, if you're listening, some of the approvals that they have for this line include ATEX, IEC EX, CUL US class one div two. Okay, that's the one I used to hear all the time over the years. And this article kind of goes through all the details and the different products. So we have some of the PSU 6200s, I believe, here. In any case, so from there we go over to an announcement, product announcement from Softing. And they're debuting their new Edge Gate. at Hanover Mies, right? Which is next week, I guess. So I was talking to a vendor, I think it was Industrial Shields I was talking to, and they postponed our meeting for a couple of weeks because they're doing a big splash at Hanover, I believe, if I remember the conversation correctly. So in any case, really cool product. This product, let's see if I can zoom in here a little bit. This product connects to both PLCs and CNCs, right? And it's a way to get data, right? Collect data without interrupting the, you know, existing operations. And it supports OPC UA, and I saw all the networks. It also supports MQTT, and it kind of reminds me of that RTA product we covered a while back. And so let's see. It includes support for Cymatic PLCs, Cynumeric. I don't know if you guys can hear the train. It's pretty far away, but it's impressive. We can hear it up here in the third floor. They also support Fanuc CNCs. They also support Modbus TCP, Allen Bradley PLCs. And so between Modbus TCP, Siemens, and Allen Bradley support, you're probably getting most of the PLCs out there, but they're still, I'd love to see them add EtherCAT and have them add, what's the other big one I'm thinking of? So, you know, they got Modbus TCP already. So EtherCAT would be the other one, the other big Ethernet network out there. But in any case, very interesting product. I got to remember, note to self, to reach out to them. We have not had Softing on in a while, but we had them on their OP suite, their data feed OPC suite, and that was a very interesting show if you guys ever want to check that out. From there, we go to Emerson, and they're announcing a new, it's called DeltaV Workflow Management, and they say it delivers scalable recipe authoring and execution technologies for life sciences or pharma, right? Very interesting stuff. And so if you're in life sciences, I know we have in the Northeast, we have a lot of pharma plants, both in Albany area and then over here in the Boston area. I'm actually much closer to Albany, but in any case, they may be interested in this. From there, we go over to our S7 course. And I just talked about this a minute ago, so I'm not going to spend much more time on this. This is the product spotlight section. So if you have a product you'd like, if you're a vendor and you have a product you'd like to show up here, get in touch. From there, we go over to some Anybus news. And this is a short article, really just talking about, like yesterday we talked about, you know, the advantages of their new communicator devices. And in this one, they talk about how they streamline the user interface. It's a short article, but it's still interesting. If you're looking at upgrading to one of these new Anybus devices, I'm tongue-tied. Check that out. From there, we go over to, I really enjoyed this article from Schneider because I knew nothing about Margo. And it's not the Margo you're thinking of. Margo is a new open standard initiative for interoperability at the edge of industrial automation. And what I really like it when we see the major players collaborating together to make, you know, allow things to work together. And I think that's a new trend that, you know, wasn't really out there so much years ago, like 34 years ago when I got started. It was, you know, you could be complimentary, but if you were competing, nobody would ever touch you, right? So in any case, and they're still that way. Some companies are still that way, especially when it comes to training. Trust me, I know. But in any case, I'm not going to read through this whole article, but I did want to tell you, give you a highlight of what it's about. And we'll start with, let's see here. Yeah. So one, agnostic, scalable, secure edge application ecosystem. So that's what Schneider is promoting. And being part of this allows them to, allows edge devices to talk together. And I'll just end this with, I know I read this like at 3 o'clock this morning. So the companies working together to allow this, right, includes ABB, B&R, Microsoft Rockwell, Schneider, Aviva, and Siemens. So these are like-minded industry peers to collaborating and contributing to build a meaningful and effective interoperability standard that will help customers achieve their digital transformation goals. A lot of marketing speak there, but we'll hopefully hear a lot more about Margo in the future. From there, we go over to another article from Rockwell. This talks about the latest IT-OT convergence trends and best practices. Again, another meaty article I love it when the vendors do these articles and really put some meat behind them, really put some details in them, and give us some stats, right? And so this one starts off with a talk about the Clorox incident, which I really hadn't paid attention to, but there's lots of links to the story in this article, and they really kind of summarize it very well. It was a huge, huge hit to their production and hit to their profitability and stock price. And so they talk in here about, and I think maybe some of this is based on their recent experience becoming 62443 certified. But in any case, they talk about who they partner with. They talk about how they implemented different things and the things that you need to watch out for and how the solutions you should consider, And so whether it's elevating security or looking at your automation, IoT, and AI implications, those devices that everybody's starting to implement, what implications does it have for your cybersecurity, right? And there was one stat in here that says, 80% of all plant floor or industrial automation vulnerabilities start on the IT side, right? Because, that's typically, you have more web access going on there, you have more personal devices being used. And once it gets on that side, if you don't have a strong firewall, like the Cisco model and the Rockwell model kind of show, then, they can get right in. And I've heard more and more, I'm hearing stories from companies, and I won't name names, but about getting hacked and how much it costs the company. And a lot of times, I got to throw this out there, in every one of these instances where people talk about being hacked and ransomware, they're not following the basic standard backup practices, right? I learned this back in the 90s, right? Going for Microsoft certification, you must back up your data and you must have multiple copies. Maybe you have a local copy, but you also need to have an offsite copy, because if that data center burns down, you're going to have all your data somewhere else in second place, right? So the stat back then was, I think 90 some odd percent of companies who lose their data go out of business, right? So you gotta make sure your people are backing up your stuff. Especially for all you, OT people, all you, PLC, HMI, SCADA guys, make sure they're backing up not only locally, but they're backing it up offsite as well. And back in the day, that meant taking the tapes to like a security deposit box or something. We don't have to do that anymore. But in any case, just having it in your own company is not enough. Some of these companies get hacked company-wide. I mean, locations all over the world, all the locations get hacked at once because they're all interconnected on a WAN. So you need to have a way to get that data backed up and put somewhere else with separate authentication that's not common with your network and your current authentication inside your plant. And because if they crack your plant, you don't want them to also crack your backup. So there's a lot of people out there who can talk to you a lot more about that than I can, but I did want to talk about that. Today we're highlighting over at the Automation Blog the SM1200 guide. This is over 40 articles and videos that I've done and some of my freelancers have done for me. And like Brandon, great stuff. We also have Paul who's written on a bunch on Mitsubishi. So check that out. If you know anybody looking to get up to speed on 1200, the 1200 is a great little PLC. Check this out. We're actually going to be teaching the 1200 here in the very near future. This weekend, I got to build the trainers. Why am I building trainers and not buying them? First of all, you'll be hard-pressed to find a trainer under $1,500, okay? But, and I don't need the parts. We already have the parts, right? And in many cases, they don't have enough push buttons and switches and photo eyes and sensors on them, because in our courses, we use up all. We pretty much use almost, I think we use 16 in and 14 out or something like that. So we make best use of it as we automate the widget machine. We use lots of I.O., right? Because, All right, so going back to the original Slick 500 demo, right, the blue case demo and the Slick 100 demo that I learned on, I never thought they had enough buttons and lights, right, and enough of a mix, So we have little motors that have flags going in front of the inductive procs and the photo cell and, photo eye, and we do all kinds of different stuff. So we have things you can put, washers over to get them to turn on and off, and in any case, we're working on some really cool stuff too. We're going to build a real widget machine at some point, actually two of them. But in any case, you got to be careful when you buy some of these small PLCs, because the smallest of the small PLCs, like the Micro 810 and the SM1200, the smallest ones have no expansion and don't have a lot of built-in I/O. They're like micro relays or smart relays. So in any case, if you're gonna build a widget machine like ours, you need to have enough I/O. So typically, you know, like something like 16 in and 12 out would be enough. But in any case, I did want to highlight that. And from there, we have a couple of videos I want to share with you. The first one is from Pills, and it's a nice video. I don't think we've shared this before. It's like taken at a trade show, and it talks about IO-Link safety. This is something new for me. I'm still coming up to speed on it, and we'd love to get Pills on to talk to us about it on the show. But in any case, I think you guys will enjoy this. They have subtitles because it's like English as a second language, but I still think they do really good with their but it's good to have the subtitles too, because every once in a while there's a word that you may not understand, at least if you're like me. But in any case, great video from Pills. And we had another video too from Premio. And this is, they're really promoting a new ebook they put together about rugged edge computing. Okay. And this is a free ebook. You just have to give your name and first one. But no, I'm just kidding. But in any case, I was watching this video. It was really good. It's kind of promo, you know, what's going to be in the, what's in the ebook. And actually one of the guys, Dustin and Yosef, I had a meeting with about doing some product overviews on their products, have them come on the show and give us an update on their line and stuff. So hopefully we get to do that in the future. But in any case, I want to share this video with you. I did not grab the ebook because I try only to pull up things that I can actually share with you. And if it's behind like a sign-in form or something, I typically won't share it because I can't show you it, you know. From there, we go over to an upcoming event, another upcoming event. They got a lot of things going on over at Metla Toledo. I actually owe them I got to get in contact with them because we got some more work to do together. But in any case, this is on the April 30th. It's either 4 a.m. I was thinking about that at 4 a.m. this morning. Too early for my brain to focus. But then 10 a.m., which is probably better for most people. Now, the dates on this link, when you click on this link, the times will be in local time. I like it that they do that. A lot of companies don't do that, but I like it that they automatically adjust for your local time, at least what your browser thinks is your local time. But this is what they call inline quality control in breweries. Now, you may not be a brewer. You know, couldn't we all work at a place brewing beer? That would be great. But in any case, still, there's a lot of things I think that you may have in similar. You know, they have, you can see up here, and they have bottling, they have capping, they have labeling, they have, the vats they make the beer in, and the process, you know, measuring with pH, and just a lot of stuff there. So if you have a process similar to that, you may find this event very helpful. And from there, we go over to our downloads. So we got a new Siemens Psytrans library for TIA Portal. I'm hoping I'm meeting with Siemens this afternoon to talk about libraries because I don't know anything about them. But in any case, so we have that there for using Psytrans. We also have Thymit. And this is a new help firmware change log for the PNPB. So I'm thinking that's Profinet, the Profibus units. Yeah, so you can see the information on that. And then over at Rockwell, we had some cool new literature come out. Now, this one doesn't perform well. I'm thinking maybe it's just too high quality. But I always love these infographics. And this particular infographic is 5 steps to achieving the perfect fill, right? And so that's where you can fill a bottle or something with a liquid to either, you know, so that it's perfect at the right perfect point, not overfill, not underfill. And so I thought this was interesting. This does talk about FactoryTalk analytics, logic, AI. And I'm like, that, you know, that's typically not one of those products I think of as ready on the shelf to buy, like a FactoryTalk View or FactoryTalk historian. But in any case, still, I like these infographics and I thought it was pretty good. So I wanted to share it with you. There's also the new Logix controllers, general instructions. Now, I really want to cover, do a show on version 36 of Studio 5000. I got the public press release, the public PowerPoint. So I'm going through that and I want to do that here in the coming weeks. And then maybe do something extra for our community, like a community only, like a, you know, jump into a temporary activation and take a look at it. But in any case, what I think so interesting about this is that some of the instruction names change. Now, this doesn't happen often with Rockwell, right? Or with any PLC manufacturer. And so I thought, hey, are they going to call an XIC a contact and an OTE a coil now like everybody else does? No. And we've talked about this on the show before. That goes all the way back to that first PLC, the PDQ2, because they had bought 3S, right? Or S3? Anyways, I got an article about it on the blog. But in any case, so they kept those mnemonics, right? That's not a word you hear every day. From those very early, you know, their first official Allen Bradley labeled PLC. So in any case, so that's really interesting. And some of the ones now, some of you old guys like Brian, I don't know if Brian, if you're watching, but some of you old guys will maybe get a little sad that they replaced Fred and Ted. So now Fred is, you know, Fred was from BCD and Ted was Todd, to BCD. So Fred and Todd are gone. And in 36, they are now to BCD and BCD 2. And the other thing too is, so if you've been using Rockwell, you know, like greater than or equal to, less than or equal to, less than, greater than, all the mnemonics were typically three letters, sometimes more, especially plant PAX. But, you know, we were like lived in that world where everything had to be three letter mnemonics, right? Kind of brings me back to my college days, programming microcomputers. But in any case, they to align with the better with the standard, they've gone to two letters. Some of these have gone down to two letters. And so greater than is just GT, and greater than or equal to is just GE. So very interesting how they're aligning better with the standard. I like that. But also it's kind of like, you know, a little nostalgic. You're going to kind of miss some of the ones you've been using since, well, 1990 in my case. And I know many of you have been using it much longer. But in any case, so I wanted to share that with you. That manual is out. And one of the things I really liked about what they did with this manual, and you don't see this much, but I really appreciate it, is that here at the very top, what page is this? Like page 5, okay? So they have four columns here, four different manuals, and which instructions are in each manual. And I think that's great because, you know, right off the bat, if you're looking for, let's say, a PIDE, that's not in this book. That's in the Advanced Process and Control and Drives and blah, blah, blah manual. So I'm really glad they did that. And let's go on to this next one, structured text. So if you're using structured text, that has also been updated as well. And I didn't look to see what's new in this, but it's probably much the same. From there, we also have new FlexIO installation guide. So if you're doing analog IO, this is only on the IF4i. Well, it's there if you need it. From there, we go over to Siemens, and they had a brand new catalog, Innomotics. I don't know if I said that right. But in any case, this is a low voltage motor catalog, low voltage Motics catalog, and specifically covering the motors GP, SD, XP, DP. Okay. And one of the things I like about these catalogs is they have all the catalogs here, related catalogs, on the first page or page 2, right? First page after the cover. So you can see all the related catalogs here and you can click on them and the links go right to them. So motion control, industrial controls, motion control drives, and so on. So I really like that. So I wanted to share that with you. Looks like 700 pages. Wow. And then they had a new flyer on their unmanaged industrial Ethernet switches. And we have had Siemens on to talk about these. So I didn't put all the other podcasts in that I mentioned, but I did get this one in. This goes all the way back to 2020. Okay, P59. And we talked about their layer 2 industrial switches, unmanaged. Okay, so from there we go over to Schneider. We got a new DTM library on the ATV340. And we go over to Emerson, and we have a new data sheet on their type BM6X slam shut valves. Just fun to say, right? And finally, I got to tell you, of all the humanoid robots we've seen, and we've looked at Digit, and we've looked at some of these other guys, and they all are good for one thing or another. But this one, I think, the first one I said, oh, impressive. Now, yesterday they had a story about Boston Dynamics retiring their original Atlas humanoid robot. And that it was a hydraulic robot, a lot of hydraulics in them. And so then today, they introduced a new electric Atlas. Now, this, I don't think this is 100% yet, but man, it's impressive. And I'm going to play the video here. And I don't know if I muted my, excuse me. So, and I don't think it'll let me go full screen. No. But in any case, watch how this thing is laying flat on the ground and watch how it stands up by flipping its legs over its, you know, to lift itself up from around the torso area. And of course, the head can turn around, the torso can turn around, the legs can turn around. But I was very impressed. So all of the articulation points seem to be able to do 360, right? Which is really cool. And it's fast. Now, the gate there, there's a little something with the gate. That I think they need to tweak that a little bit to get it to be more smooth. But just seeing how the legs can rotate 180 degrees, the body's doing 180, the head's doing 180. Maybe it's only 180. Maybe it's not 360. But in any case, I just thought this is impressive. Now, I didn't look into it to see how much it can carry. That will make a big point. But we are nearing, in my opinion, we are nearing the day. We're going to start seeing these things do some manual work around us. So in any case, very impressive. So with that, just a reminder, if you know anybody looking for PLC, HMI, or SCADA training, tell them to check out theautomationschool.com. I did have somebody ask me this morning on LinkedIn. They're like, hey, Sean, if I want to get started with Rockwell Allen Bradley, what course do I take? And it's like, well, it really depends because, you know, what do you want to do? Are you self-funding this? Are you going to work from home? Do you want to invest a lot of money? I mean, we get the PLC Basics original first edition remastered for $35, right? Uses RS Logic's Micro Starter Lite and RS Emulate 500, both of which are free. I mean, you can also go out and find a 1000 or an 1100 and use those for free as well. Although the used prices on the 1100s are through the roof. So we were going to buy some for here, but in some cases, the 1400s are cheaper. So that tells you there's a shortage out there in the used market on those. And they don't make the 1100 new anymore. And the 1400s is kind of what do they call it? Long in the tooth. Legacy or I forget, they have a word for it, but it's not long for this world, which is a shame, but we could talk about that more some other time. But in any case, and then it's like, look, if you just want to learn PLCs, the Micro 800, we talked about this on LinkedIn too this morning. Micro 800, that 820, is it still under $300? It's a great PLC, and it programs more like in an IEC standard than it does in like RS Logic, so Studio 5000 or TIA Portal or CodeSys. It's not like those really, but it supports three languages. It has a built-in simulator. The software is free. I mean, it's a great little PLC. But if you want to learn Logics, I mean, you're pretty much going to be asking for a 30-day trial of the software or the emulator because. Buying it, I don't see how you get into Compact Logics even for under $800 with the hardware. And I think the 1 year lease on the software was $300 to $400 a year. And everybody who contacts the distributor tries to buy that as an individual, they're told that, sorry, we don't do business with individuals. It's like, what? What? I bought all my Rockwell software as an individual. So I don't know what they're saying. So just go online and try to buy it directly from Rockwell. If you have a company field you got to fill in, just put your name. Every human being has the right to do business using their own name. You don't have to go get a DBA or incorporate or anything like that. So, if you think I'm wrong about any of that, use the TalkBack link and let me know because I feel pretty firm about that, especially being self-employed. So in any case, also want to thank theautomationblog.com. Check out some of those new articles. Tell us what you think. Also, if you want to join our community, you can go to theautomationblog.com/community. That redirects the locals right now, but we're working on something behind the scenes that we think will be even better. And of course, if you want to support our site, especially during this time, we have nobody sponsoring the morning show. Check out our eBooks, check out our video collections, check out our T-shirts and coffee cups. And of course, you can always send us in news tips or use the TalkBack link. And with that, I see some things coming in. We got somebody who has an offer for promotion for your channels, followers, and viewers. I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. In any case, then we have Frank. Hey, Frank. Good to see you. Frank says, now McDonald's employees make more than me. No, I'm just kidding. I hope, maybe. I worked at McDonald's back in the 80s. In any case, I guess the point is, with minimum wage going up, 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 more automation is making it into places like fast food joints. So thank you, Frank, for sharing that. And, it's true, right? How much is the customer going to pay? And when, you can't man every station with a human, you have to start doing some automated things. And that's just life, right? But again, I think I told this story about Beach Nut before. They had this really old brick building that was nasty. I just thought it was nasty. And they built this beautiful, brand new facility, and just gorgeous, right? And on one of the walls, they showed a line of ladies working, cutting up, I think it was carrots or potatoes or something, but the perspective, it went on forever, right? There was literally an army of people coming to work to cut up carrots and potatoes and anything they put into baby food every day. Nobody wants that job anymore. Well, most people don't want that job anymore. Our kids and grandkids grew up using touchpads. I mean, I have two teenage grandkids. They were using touchscreens their entire life. As a matter of fact, it took a while for me to teach them how to play video games with the keyboard, but they can do it now. So in any case, yes, so that's inevitability. There's no more buggy whip manufacturers, or at least not what we used to have. And, you know, that's just life. So with that, I'm going to stop babbling. I want to wish you all an awesome day. And no matter what happens, stay courageous and stay fearless. And until next time, my friends, peace.